Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back with our Survivor 46 episode number 7 recap, the split tribal. We learned that, well, I guess we didn't learn. Survivor never learned what the definition of merge was in the last couple of seasons. They are now merged. Jeff says, congratulations on officially making the merge. Now go sit on your opposite benches. We're going to do this challenge where we're going to randomly pick you into two different tribes. Two different teams, they're calling it, because God forbid we call it a tribe swap, even they go to different beaches, it's different teams, different tribals, no impact on each other. But it's not a tribe swap, it's a merge.
This bothers you way more than it bothers me. Because they did this splitting up into groups at Final 10 in 41 and 42 and in 43 and 44, I want
to
say.
They did it in Ghost Island as well, but they used to actually give them a merge after they merged. It wasn't just like, you're merged.
That's what I'm kind of getting at, though, is that your qualm with it is when they do it and that it happens at 12 instead of 10. And if you do it at 12 instead of 10, there's no round between, you know, the 13 mergatory thing. So, yes, I see what you're saying. It's like we don't really officially merge. We don't have a normal vote. But I would dislike it more if they just did it at 10 every single season and it was super predictable. I think going either doing it at Final 10 or Final 12, going back and forth, I'd rather have that than just doing it at 10, even though this is kind of wonky with like, hey, you merge, but not really.
Yeah, and actually, this one was a pretty good episode. I think this was a better episode than last season's version of this, so I did end up enjoying this. I just think that, that's just always going to be a complaint that I'm going to have because I feel like it's one of those things where it's probably not necessary. And we saw on the one team, so I can't call them tribes. So on the one team, we saw a group where none of them really would have been in danger had we had a normal merge. Now, I understand that that's kind of what the point of this is, but also the point of Survivor should be building the relationships and doing all of that. And I don't think Kenzie, Tiffany, Q, Ben, Hunter, or Tim would have actually been in danger had this just been a normal merge. I think that you probably would have seen Soda or Venus go, which is what we ended up seeing on the other side anyway. So it is what it is. I just feel like we did get a wild split here of four of the five Namis on one tribe or one team, whatever the hell it is, with two Sigas. And the other side felt like it wasn't even the Sigas or the Namis who were in danger of going home had it been a regular merge. They hadn't been played up in that way. So it was a wild split in that way. It felt like all the targets were on one side.
Yes, but even saying that, it's like the players have seen seasons 41 to 44. They know this is coming at some point. You have to somewhat be prepared that we are going to split into a small group. And I think it's you have more of an excuse if you were in season 41 or 42 and you're like, well, I had no idea that this was coming. And even like James in 43, yeah, he got kind of screwed there with how the numbers shook out. But it's like you had to know at some point you were going to split into these groups. It's kind of part of the format now, at least for the new era. I mean, there hasn't been a new era season that hasn't done this. So it's just a stage of the game that you have to prepare for and get through. And you know, Tim going tonight, you said he probably was in danger if it was just a normal like final 12 vote. I don't know if that's true, because Q called out Tim for what he was doing, and Q nailed it on the head. Like, Tim was trying to be in this six-person alliance and then also trying to keep his SIGA numbers, and then he very much misplays here. So I can't really sit here and be like, oh, Tim, you know, he got swap screwed or split screwed, whatever we want to, you know, what term we want to come up with for it. Because Q is the guy championing this six-person alliance, the plus one alliance. It's all Q's idea. He's the most vocal about keeping it together. And Tim goes up to him. The first thing he says is, let's get out Hunter, one of the people in the six. Like, you have to know as a Survivor player that that is a losing move. You know that Q has Kenzie and Tiff from Yanu, has Hunter and Tiff from the plus one alliance. So you kind of, if you're Tim, the best
throw Ben's name, it has to be Ben.
Throwing out Ben's name, that's really all you can do, and that is Survivor. That's the whole point of the game. You have to cut ties with people you're close with to advance your own game. It's a vicious, selfish, cutthroat game. That's why we like it. And for Tim to kind of sit back and think that he was going to be okay with telling Q that I'm going to vote against our own alliance that we just came up with, that Q is super excited about when Q has all the numbers. I mean, that was a complete and utter misplay and failure by Tim. And I liked him a lot. So I'm bummed to see him go, but he really flubbed this.
Who was your winner pick?
Tim.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Tiff was early on. I think Tiff and Tim were both like my early on. And then you took Tiff as yours. So I was like, I'll take Tim then. They were kind of 1A, 1B.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there just so that everybody knew that that was your winner pick so that I could get that.
Well, actually, in my bootlist video I made, I still have my winner pick still alive. I had Venus winning.
Dude, Venus is killing it. We'll talk about Venus in a second. But yeah, I agree with you, Tim. Tim misplayed this. But I guess the thing is, though, Will, everything you just said is right. You are correct. You're welcome. I'll say that. I'll put that over on your plate so that you can smile. I know you have a plate right in front of you, so you can put all of my compliments right there for you. But here's the deal. For that to be misplayed, there had to be this split, right? That split had to happen in this way. He would not have misplayed this had it been a normal tribal, because he wouldn't have felt that pressure of get rid of one of the members of the six or get rid of my best bud, Ben, over here, who might not have been his number one, but Ben was definitely a close number two for him. I think he felt closer with him than he did with Charlie. So whatever, doesn't matter. Will, you just put up the most important thing. St. Cliffo, Soda didn't quit.
No.
Does this feel like a success for you or a failure?
I don't know. I mean, I said it offhanded after a 90-second video during the cast assessment that, hey, maybe she could quit. She's afraid of insects. She did not quit. I was never really believing that to be the case, but you kept bringing it up in every single preseason video that we did.
Will, welcome back to the Survivor world.
She's
man.
On
welcome
my fantasy back to team. Podcasting. She's
welcome
on my
back.
Fantasy team, man.
Welcome back to Soda podcasting. To go. Everything you said can and will be used against you. So I had to keep bringing it up as much as I could.
Who's on my fantasy team? Do I have anybody left? Because I had Randon and I had Jelinski and I had Soda. So I don't know if my team's doing all that well. I know I have Hunter.
You, me, and Blake were always in a tough position because we were actually picking with each other, whereas everybody else could just pick from themselves. Which, by the way, I will say this. If you're playing in the fantasy game and you have since become not a patron, you can't win the fantasy game. Like, this isn't just like, oh, I signed up for the first episode and then I bailed, so keep my scores. Like, you gotta be a patron in order to win the fantasy game. So if you've had your credit card lapse or something, you know, that's okay. Will, your team right now, you have Hunter, Charlie. You have Hunter and Charlie. You've lost Tim. You lost Tim and Soda both tonight. You
don't I had Tim also. I forgot I had Tim on my team. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay.
So let's talk about this though. So let's break down. We already look, when we did our predictions and power rankings with Fair Play, which probably was our most polarizing episode of the season based on the comments and based on what people have been saying. That's always a good time. I think Johnny Fair Play likes being polarizing, everybody. I don't know if that's going to help you, but the thing is, with how this broke out, we already knew what they were going to be. We already knew how the tribes were going to go and all that. Do you think the two correct people went home tonight?
In terms of like how it was split, like
no. Like in terms of the people who were in power, did they make the right moves tonight? Because obviously Liz did not vote correctly, so that doesn't matter. But we had the three, Yanu and Hunter, decide it was Tim's time to go.
Well, yeah, let's break it down one at a time. Let's stick with our Tim and Ben side of things here. Because that's really the debate. You know, Hunter's name was really never seriously on the table. I mean, Q put that to bed quickly. He was used as a decoy for Ben and Tim. Yeah, Tim saying he's the sexiest dad to play. Hey, there you go.
And then Rigo follows up. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I think getting rid of Tim was I think the correct move. I don't know. I mean,
you've been big on getting rid of Ben this whole season just because I like him. But I do honestly believe Tim was the right move over Ben.
I think Tim has shown to be way more of a game player. And like, you just made an alliance with this guy and now he wants to vote against it. And now you have an opportunity to get him out. Like, if he's going to go against Hunter like that, what makes you think he's not going to come at you like that? You have no faith. You can tell he's clearly playing Sega strong, whereas Ben doesn't seem like he's playing that way. Ben is kind of downplaying his own game, I think. Like, he's kind of doing this, I'm just along for the ride, man. Like, rock on. Like, let's hang out. I think those are the vibes we're getting for Ben. And I often say this about Fabio. He's such an underrated winner, and people have him as the worst winner. A lot of people do. But Fabio, what he did was he became the dumb, blonde, chill surfer dude, and he played that up so people thought he wouldn't be threatening. And that's actually a very viable strategy, especially in the new era. I think it's good in a lot of these shows. Don't stick out like a sore thumb. Right. We have here bar 6578. Is Ben even playing Survivor? I think he is. And I think he's probably playing it harder than we know, because if he plays too outwardly, that's why he told Q, hey, man, you got to gamble. If he plays shot in the dark, he's got an idol, whatever, I'll go. Like, that's the vibe he is bringing to the game. And you look at that person, that player, and say, okay, do I want to target that person or do I want to target Tim, who is, like, throwing out names and trying to make their own moves, trying to keep their own allies safe, whereas Ben's just along for the ride. So maybe Ben is more threatening to win in the long run, but I just don't see that Ben is someone that is actively going to, like, upend your own game. Whereas, especially if you're Q, I do think at some point Tim would be like, we got to get Q, or we got to break up the Yanu. Like, Tim, it was so wishy-washy on this plus one alliance that I think once Tim turned against it, Q really didn't have a choice but to say, you know what, Tim, you got to go.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. I think that people sometimes look at the way that a player like Ben is currently playing and they want to immediately write it off as they're not playing Survivor. I disagree with that. I think that Ben does what he has to do to get by. Ben's name has been coming up at every tribal council that his tribes have gone to. His name came up when Jim went home. His name was coming up briefly last week before Mariah eventually went home. And then he was the alternative tonight. His name was the first one that ended up popping into Mal's. So I do feel like if you're Ben, you got to read the situation. You got to read the room. You got to say, look, this is what's ultimately going to be best for my game. This is what's going to be best for me. Oh, that's right. Andy, he was immune last week. Sorry. See, I have pay attention. I'm just here to talk. And Andy's over here, I think, tied with me in the power rankings game. So what does he know? But see, anyway,
I like this comment right here. Bruh, why do people underestimate just being likable? Natalie White literally won. Because people liked her more than Russell. I mean, Fabio, Gabler, hello. And there's such truth to that. I think just Ben being a cool, likable dude who's not playing super aggressively, you kind of just like, man, I don't really want Ben to go. Like, you just, like, I think part of it with Kenzie was like, I formed a really good connection with Ben. Like, man, like, he's charming and he can get votes to win, but like, you could almost talk yourself into, yeah, but Tim's playing harder. Tim's a more bigger threat to my game, like all that. Like, and part of you is just, Ben, love that guy. I don't want to see Ben go yet.
And
Ben
Tim around. Was.
And there is that energy. And that, I think that is something that's real. And we can sit here on a podcast and be like, where the numbers lie or who's going to get more jury votes. But there is part of it, I'm sure, where you're just out there and you're like, I just like this dude, man. Like, I don't want to see him go yet. Like, I don't.
Yeah, and Jay Byrne Aquatic then keeps going. Bob Crowley won. I mean, these people aren't considered great players, but they still won, so it doesn't matter how they get there as long as they do. I think that's the other problem with sometimes huge super fans of the show when they actually get their chance to play Survivor. They're thinking in terms of not only do they want to win, they want to be an all-time great. Fair Play kept saying it on the last episode on the power rankings of, you want to be – this isn't great TV. I want great TV. $1 million is better than being great TV in a lot of instances. I mean, yeah, there's people who will get to go and be on all these different reality TV shows, The Challenge and all that stuff. There's a lot of people who get on The Challenge who aren't great TV either. I mean, we've seen that where they weren't awesome on Survivor. They weren't a larger than life character, and they go and they do very well on The Challenge. So you can get there really any way. If I'm getting my one chance to play Survivor, I don't really give a shit if the fan base likes me all that much, if it's going to end up getting me $1 million. And tonight, Ben would have missed the jury had he tried to play harder. I actually think it benefited him that he didn't play harder. And Tim was just saying so many random different things that it threw everybody off and it scared them a lot. And that's not the best way to play Survivor.
Do you think there was any merit? Why am I echoing, Phil? You have no headphones in.
Yeah, but that doesn't normally make it echo. That's weird.
Is there any merit into targeting Hunter here?
Yes. Do you need me to grab headphones? I can grab them if you need me to. Are you still
hearing
yourself?
No, I don't hear it anymore. It's just it came up.
I think it was probably just one quick one. Yes, I do think there's merit to targeting Hunter. They don't know he has the idol. James Jones has been a big proponent of this on the internet, saying that if you get an idol in New School Survivor, you actually probably should tell people, because the days of being able to find out, get a little hint, and then play your idol are long gone. Nowadays, you need people to know, kind of like the Julie situation that we saw last season. This is generally how successful idol players get played. However, in Hunter's case, I actually think it's the better move for him not to tell anybody, because in a situation like this, he doesn't have to worry about everybody lying to his face, hoping he's not going to play the idol that they all know he has. So I do think Hunter is playing this right. And I do think that there was some merit to voting him out. But at the end of the day, if you're Q, you don't want to vote Hunter out, because Hunter is being seen as a bigger physical threat than you, especially because Q just keeps throwing all these challenges. Yeah. Sure you are, Q. Keep up the good work, pal. But so Hunter is being seen as the bigger threat than Q. And that is a great thing for Q. And honestly, that's a great thing for Tiff, because as soon as people wake up and realize that having the biggest muscles in the world aren't the only thing that's important, they're going to realize Tiff is probably the biggest threat in the game.
Tiff said that too. She's like, I don't care about challenge threats. And even Q had a great line like, yeah, Hunter's a physical threat. He's not going to win 10 challenges in a row.
Mm-hmm. Like, you don't think he'll win three challenges in a row? Really? I mean, yeah. It's
always like when people target the physical threats, I know there's a lot of different reasons, but you know, one of the reasons should not be, they're gonna win out, get to fire, and we'll never have a chance to vote them out. Like that, yeah, I think is kind of a silly reason. It's more that when you have just such physically dominant people, they prevent you from having any chance at winning. But we've seen, I mean, look who won the challenge today. It was Maria and Kenzie, two people that on paper you wouldn't immediately and go, oh, those are going to be the people.
And it was Dee and Kelly who won this challenge, I believe, last year. Like, not this challenge, but at this
right
portion of the game. Yeah, it was Dee
and
Kelly.
Yeah, the split. So how close was Hunter to playing his idol? Do you think it was?
Not at all.
Yeah, I thought potentially they were setting us up for, you know, we as an audience know that the Yanu 3 are not targeting him, but like he doesn't know that. Like there's no way for him to know. Like we're getting the confessionals from Tiff, Kenzie, and Q about, you know, deciding between Ben and Tim. And so for us as an audience, like, okay, like Hunter, you're fine, but he doesn't get to see that. All he gets is, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're voting one of them out. And he had a confessional. I was like, they could just be lying to me. And like, that's it. Then my game is over. Then I'm voted out. And I have this idol. I think it was closer than we might have been shown. I'm interested if Hunter ever speaks to that, because Charlie also, and this is we're hopping over to a different tribe, but it is very, I think it's pertinent here. What Charlie said is like, because there's the shot in the dark in the game, everyone, whether you have an idol or not, you don't need to have an idol. There doesn't need to be an idol out there or even on the beach. The fact that shot in the dark at all exists, you have to tell people, you have to lie to people's face and make sure they feel comfortable. So if even Hunter's not sitting here thinking, oh, they know I have an idol, and it's not like, will I, won't I? Is he going to play it tonight? Should I save it? This has nothing to even do with an idol. The other three don't know. They would still, if they were going to target Hunter, they would play it the exact same way, because shot in the dark exists. And I thought that was a really good point from Charlie.
I think I agree with you on that. I think at this point, the problem is Q might be a little too cocky in his thinking and his talking. I think Q is trying to play more honorable than he's actually playing. And I think Q is trying to play a little bit more strategically and a little bit more aggressively. And I think that if they were all trying to flip it onto Hunter, I think Q might actually tell Hunter, because I think Q, with his best interest, it's keeping Hunter around. So I think Hunter would have known tonight if he was in any real danger. And yes, he got two votes, but I think he probably sat down, had the conversation with the Yanus. What I'm thinking watching this right now, the three Yanus and Hunter, they're looking to be with each other until the final five or final six of this game, maybe even further. But I'm thinking the final five or final six of this game, and maybe then they try to bring along a Venus or a Liz, who all of them think they can beat at the end. But I think that we are going to have two legitimate contenders to win this game sitting at the final tribal council.
That's what we want. I mean, ideally we have three. Very rare. Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It did China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. That's why it's one of the best. I got to do this, Will, because I totally forgot last week. So if you want to play these games, if you want to be cast on the show of Survivor, if you want to just get help making an audition tape, considering reaching out to Adam Klein. Adam does help with audition tapes for reality TV, Survivor, and the like. So if you'd like to get his advice, click the link in the description. It's there. Tell him the specialist sent you. And maybe one day you could go out there and you could win 10 challenges in a row and prove Q wrong and say, look, Q, maybe you, if people would just keep throwing them like you are, I'm going to win 10 in a row. So I don't know. Maybe you could do that. But go ahead, reach out to Adam. Adam's great. His whole goal is to just help you, not just get, it's obviously he's not just sitting there saying, oh, guaranteed to get on the show, but to help you make the best video and hopefully help you see some things differently that can help you in other ways in your life too. So that's the biggest thing there. And then I'll throw in the other one real quick, because Rigo said it. He said, I'd be great at this challenge today. What I have learned from the Idol Plays puzzles and from hanging out with Will and from going to a couple of finales, I would suck at these challenges. So if you're interested in doing some challenges, click the link in the description for Idol Plays and you can get some challenges through like our specialist package. So that could be a good time, and you can be better than me at challenges, because I honestly suck at all of them and I have no balance. I would have fallen on my face in this one. So anyway, Will, we can come back now. Like this video, do all of that. I just wanted to throw those things in. We were talking about Hunter. Is Hunter... Okay, you last week we asked who was the fan favorite. And erroneously, we said Q, right? Is erroneously the right word?
I said Q. And again,
I tried to fight you a bit on that, but then the clip we ended up putting on social media made it seem like I was the one who came up with the idea. It's Hunter, right? Like, Hunter is the guy.
I think Hunter or Q, possibly.
I don't think people are rooting for Q, man. When I posted that, people were like, not Q, he's so cocky.
No, not our... I'm not talking about our fan base. That's why when you asked this question last time, I was like, make it very clear. Are we talking about like America? Like the five,
it's not
cute,
even if you're saying America, it's just flat out
seven
not.
To 7 million people who watch this show in 7 days in the week that it airs. It's like, that's kind of what I'm going for, but just because we've seen so much of him, and hey, maybe Hunter's picking up ground, but this was, you know, six episodes in when, you know, Q was going to, you know, losing four immunity challenges and then the merge vote that he was a part of also. I think Q has been like the kind of star of the season, I think. Yeah. And I think that Hunter might be catching up. I also think Kenzie is like very much, she turned it around tonight in terms of fan favorite potential. I know she lost a lot of fans with the whole Jess thing, But yeah. I think she had a really good episode tonight.
Yeah, well, the reason I was asking this question now is because at that tribal, when you were talking about with the idol and all that fun stuff, do you think most of the country was sitting there going, please, Hunter, play the idol. Please don't go home, Hunter. Please don't go home, Hunter. Do you think that's what generally people were thinking and that they were okay? Because Tiff's name wasn't coming up. Do you think they were pretty much okay with it being Q, Tim, or Ben over Hunter tonight? Or do you think that that's not true?
Well, that's just not the episode or show that we were told. So I don't think anyone was thinking about the idol at all, because we knew that the Yanu 3 were not voting Hunter's way. So I don't think that's not what the show is putting forth. So I don't think that was in the audience's mind at all.
But they did.
The audience put forth, it's Tim or Ben. That's the question. It's A or B.
I feel like Hunter was the name. I feel like it was Tim or Hunter. I feel like that's what we were being presented with, because Hunter was the one who kept saying, they could be lying to me. I might have to play my idol.
Right. He's saying that. That's his perspective. We got all the information from, we never once had the Yanu 3 being like, all right, should we do Hunter or should we do Tim? It was no. Should we do Ben or should we do Tim? That was the question. That was the A or B that we got.
Like, now, I feel like Hunter's name was definitely being brought into there, because I feel like as soon as Q went over to Kenzie and Tiffany and told them this weird ass plan,
well,
with
Q, Ben, was running back and forth, and he was flipping it from Tim to Ben and then back to Tim. I mean, that's what the flipping flopping was from Q. That's what we had those confessionals from Tiff and Kenzie being like, Q's running back and he keeps changing the vote. And it wasn't from Tim to Hunter. It was from Tim to Ben and then Ben back to Tim.
What was this plan though from Q, and was this ever going to work with Ben? This plan with Ben, where he's telling Ben's feeling so confident. Seems like he's ready to go along with it, where I guess Ben was just going to play his shot in the dark.
I don't think it was the show. It was basically to make Ben feel okay that, hey, we're going to write Hunter's name down, but he could have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was, and honestly, this might've saved Ben a little bit, because Ben has this casual thing where he's like, yeah, man, it's a gamble. It's Survivor, right? And he's like, really? You're good? If Hunter just plays an idol and like he writes your name, you're the decoy. Like Q's being very honest here. You are the decoy vote that we're telling Hunter, because we're really going to write Hunter's name down. And again, they're telling Ben this because they don't want Ben in on the real plan. I could be wrong. I don't think there's anything from the Yanu 3 that suggested they were actually going to write Hunter's name down.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they Q brings this back to Kenzie and Tiff and explains this conversation. And it's like, yeah, he's fine. He's going to write Hunter. And if Hunter pulls something out, he's like, it's a gamble, whatever. And then Tiff's like, he's playing you. He's bluffing. Ben has something. No way he's that cool about it if he thinks he might go home. And Tiff was very convinced that Ben had some sort of advantage. And that might have been what flopped it from Ben back to Tim, where Tiff got worried. Hey, Ben might play something. Let's be safe here and put it back on Tim. Because a few times this episode, we did hear Tiff say, in an ideal world, I would want Ben. I think Ben is a bigger threat later. I would like to get Ben out. But just because you want to get someone out doesn't mean you can. And I think Ben's relaxed attitude, that worked, because it like, huh, why is he so chill? He must have an advantage or idol or shot, or he's going to do something. And so let's just put the vote on Tim.
Dude, the shot of Tiff saying, if you believe that, you're a sucker. And Q saying, well, I'm no sucker. And the side eye look she gave him. It was in that moment. I am a firm believer after that shot that Tiff is so over Q's shit. And then obviously Then we get the conversation between her and Kenzie saying, maybe like, this is not Q's game. We're not doing this. We're not doing that, whatever. But even before they started to have that conversation, I said, Tiff's done with Q. And I feel like Q's in a lot of trouble. I think Q's going to get blindsided pretty shortly here by his own group, with Tiff and Kenzie just being like, Q thinks that he's doing all of these things. Q's not actually playing all that great of a game. And I have something I want to add to this, but it's a good segue into the next portion. So I want to give you a chance to comment on that.
On which part?
Just anything that I just said, like with the whole Tiffany and Kenzie thing. I just wanted to give you, before I change the subject.
I mean, we can see it. I mean, it's not even like they have to convince us of Q being annoyed. Like, you're sitting there as an audience member like, whoa, like Q literally runs up and he just tells them, now we have to do this. No, we have to do this. No, we have to do this. And, you know, we got a little bit of that in the preview. in this episode. And I was like, are they really, are they going to turn against Q this week? Probably not, because we got it teased for us. But yeah, I don't, I think Kenzie and Tiff are definitely at some point going to turn on Q and be like, enough. We got to play our own game. He keeps changing the plan. And I don't even think it's that he changes the plan quickly. It's that it's the way he does it. And just like, this is what we have to do. We're doing this now. And not like, huh, this just happened. What do you guys think? This is new information I just got. How do you guys feel about this? Is this worth maybe discussing of changing our vote? Hey, it's not okay. Let's keep it. It's not that. It is.
I feel
this
like
is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. And that is not how you, that's not how you win people over. People get pissed real quickly if you start playing their game. That's something we've seen in Survivor for a long time. Don't tell people what to do. I mean, we even saw a little bit of that with Marie and Venus, which I don't know if that was fully Venus telling Maria what to do, but
we'll talk about the Venus
Maria. Yeah, we'll flip over that try, but yeah,
but I want
else on this side of the beach.
Well, the reason I think the good segue here is you have Q telling. And then we actually did have an instance here at the beginning of the episode where I thought Q was 100% right. I know a lot of people are starting to get annoyed by Q with the watch here, but I do feel like when Q told Charlie, why would you tell Venus that you voted for her? I feel like he was 100% right in this. Now, Charlie had the confessional shortly after, and it felt like we were almost supposed to agree with Charlie over Q on this one, or at least that's what the like that's what they were trying to tell us by showing us this confessional. But I was not on Q's side in any way, shape, or on Charlie's side in any way, shape, or form on this one. You had Venus on the run. You had her on the run. And now she's thinking it's Soda, so she's going to be targeting Soda. Charlie ultimately gets out of it in this moment, but this was one instance where I felt like Q was actually way more right than the person he was talking to.
See, I totally disagree with you here.
Really? Why, why does it benefit Charlie to tell Venus it was him?
It's not even really in that. I mean, I can probably argue that side of it too, but it's more of like Q and Charlie. Like Q does not has no right to go up to Charlie and say, dude, you messed up my game. You messed up everyone's game. They're going to be going at each other. You made the wrong move. Stop playing with your emotions. Like Charlie is his own player. If he wants to tell Venus because that's the game he's playing and he's trying to promote himself as an honest, loyal guy, which hello seemed to work really well this episode. And that maybe him owning up to that he played the stray vote and that we clearly know why he did it. And that clearly a Sega was being targeted and that Mariah clearly actually did play her shot in the dark. He would have been the next one to go. And I wanted to save my ass. And like, he had a great explanation for it. So I feel it's totally up to Charlie on what he wants to do and the way he wants to be perceived. And the fact that he had such a reasonable explanation of writing Venus's name down. And the fact that Soda and Venus already had their beef. They already blew it up. Like, what more are you going to get out of that? So I think he actually gained points with everybody for coming out and being honest about it. But even if you agree that it was a bad move, let's say, like, why did Charlie say anything? They would have kept feuding. And sure, I can give you that. Why? What alliance or allegiance does Charlie have to Q's game? Like, who cares, like, how you're affecting Q's game?
Well, I think
Q to come up to Charlie, and it's not like Charlie is in the plus one alliance. Q has been safe. Charlie was just at tribal council at risk of going home. I was totally on Charlie's side in this and that, like, yo, Q, you can't just run up to someone and be like, you're playing with your emotions. You were in my game. It actually might've been a very calculated decision by Charlie. And we just didn't hear that.
The reason why I think that I can understand where Q's coming from here. And granted, we didn't see this in the edit. So here you go. Yeah, I was going to put this up anyway. Was Q in a line with Charlie to begin with? Like, but let me talk. I want to say this. This was Mr. Manny. I think that with the vote last week, it was very much, is it going to be Sega or is it going to be Anami? Which one is going to go home? And so they all agreed to vote out Mariah. But the whole point was, we're going to get rid of Mariah, and then next it's going to be Anami. And this was discussed amongst everybody. Q, all that, the big brochachos plus Kenzie who won and got the merge feast, that is the conversation that they had. And I think that by Charlie going back, I think Q felt he was risking this, what they had discussed, of it going back and forth from a Sega to Anami, because now Charlie is putting attention on himself as, I was playing, I was doing this, and now it might be perceived as Charlie's too big of a threat, and now the Nommies might start to second guess and say, let's get rid of him. So I do understand where Q's coming from. Q might not always say it in the best way, but I think that Q was right, and I think you have every right in Survivor to get pissed off at other people that you're voting with, even if you only vote for them once, when they're doing something that you think is wrong for what your ultimate plan is.
Yeah, but like Q and Charlie we have not really seen them have a strategic conversation.
Can you get your mom out of the chat? Will never misses. That can only be your mom or sister. There's no way.
What about Rigo?
I don't know who Rigo is.
I just don't see why Q had any expectation of Charlie to play in a certain way that would benefit his game, and Charlie has every right to play the way he wants to play. And I really do think, and we heard it from Tevin, we heard it from Soda, like Charlie is socially playing really well. Everyone's saying he's super likable, he's super chill, he seems really loyal. We heard that from multiple people tonight, multiple of the NAMI members being like, I really like Charlie. And I think he's doing a very good job socially, and it might be because he's being like an honest player and he owned up to that vote of Venus. I'm not saying that's the entire reason. Obviously, they spent a lot of time together, but that's what he's putting out there. That's what he wants to be perceived as. So he has every right to do that.
So let me ask you this. This is another question I think branches off of this. Do you think that Charlie was saved because of his honesty? Or do you think that he was simply saved because the four Nommies who were there just all couldn't stand each other?
Oh, I think this four Nommies on any beach, any combination of two other people remaining in the game, it's still Soto or Venus going home. And even this honestly helps my point even more. Charlie did fess up that it was him. If he hadn't said anything, the outcome's still the same. It's still Soto versus Venus. Mm-hmm. It's not like Charlie owning up to that vote made Venus go, oh, you know what? Now I totally vibe and trust Soda. Now I'm totally with her. It's not like it had that effect, which I think Q is almost suggesting that now Venus totally trusts Soda. It's like, no, they still went at each other this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that's what makes this all tough. I feel like Q at this point is starting to get the villainous downfall. I feel like it's starting to happen. And so trying to like realistically think about, was this the right move? Was it not the right move? I felt like it was a good move in this moment. It seems like the entire chat and you disagree with me. That's okay. I don't care. That's fine. Everybody can disagree. I still like you all, kind of. But I do think that it's like Nami is so broken. They are so broken. Soda going home tonight. My prediction is next week we're losing a Nami. And I think the week after that, we might lose an Ami too. Or people just say, screw it. I want to keep Venus because I want to take her to final three. And I want to take Liz too, so that I can sit there and beat both of them, whatever the case is. But I think that's what's making it hard to really address how good Charlie played tonight. And if Charlie even played good, because that's what I'm trying to say with the Q thing is like, was this Charlie telling Venus the right thing? Maybe for his game it was, maybe for his game it wasn't. But it's really hard to know if him telling Venus that actually was a good move after this episode, even though he survived, because Nami was just always going to explode.
Yeah, I think it can be both. I think it can be Nami was going to explode anyway, and also he's trying to put off a loyal, honest vibe to his tribe, and there's not really one way to pinpoint whether it's not like a, you know, cause and effect. That mm-hmm. point we can look at, okay, Charlie did this, so this happened. It's more that he's putting out like an aura of himself and trying to control how other people, you know, perceive him. And that's an important part of Survivor.
Yeah. That was really the only thing that happened before the challenge. So let's talk about the challenge. We've seen this challenge a million times. Will, they put this on a lake this time? What the hell was going on? The ocean just decided not to ocean that day? I mean, when they did it with Marianne, everybody was almost dying. And now here we are, and they didn't even show us. I don't know if anybody else caught this. They didn't even show us them standing on the first perch because it was obviously that boring.
Well, sometimes I think they will change the starting perch based on the weather. So it's like if it is really rocky and they need it to start off where people aren't immediately falling off, it will be start on the bottom tier. But if it's as still as that, the bottom tier and then the second tier are like identical. It doesn't have any effect. But that's how this stuff goes. And these challenges are obviously built way far out in advance. They're scheduled for a certain day, and that's how it goes. Some days it's rocky, some days it's still as a lake, and that's what we got. My disappointment here was those are pretty much the same dimensions.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
for anybody who's listening, Zach said, was the single platform way wider? Am I just misremembering? And Will says he thinks they were pretty much the same thing.
I think they're pretty much the same. Yeah. Hey, maybe they increase them so that they would have a longer lasting challenge if it is really rocky. And then, of course, when you account for that, like when they show the clips of Marianne and Jonathan from 42, hey, let's widen these things out in case we get that again. And then, now it's still as day and everyone is pretty much safe.
Yeah.
My disappointment with this challenge was the lack of food temptations.
They never do it anymore in this challenge.
It's not even this particular challenge. It's just like this is about the time in the season, 12 people left, early merge. You know, maybe that there's two tribal councils, people are not as likely to do it, but I don't know. Like, this is just the perfect time, especially a challenge like this when the day is so still and you know you're going to have to go to the one leg tiebreaker, at least knock some people off with some food temptations.
I actually tweeted out. There was it. I hated that they went to the one leg tiebreaker because I understand that they have less time with these 26 days and with how fast everything's moving.
You're doing two tribals that night.
Yeah, you're doing two tribals that night. So it's a really quick turnaround. But man, old school endurance challenges where they are tempting them down. This was a really fun challenge. Q and Tim were funny at this challenge. It was totally over the top, but it was fun. I enjoyed the ABC game that was just like Q was getting pissed and then Charlie leans into it. That was really fun. Like, I really enjoyed all of that Baltimore. Yeah. I enjoyed all of that stuff a lot.
That was really funny from Charlie. And when he says, oh, I want to go, I was like, oh, please troll here, Charlie. Like, I was so hoping he was going to do it. And then he does troll. And you can see him kind of smirking that he was, obviously failing on purpose to piss off Q. And that was great.
That was great. And like, let's say in the future, let's say somebody's listening to us 40 minutes in. And they've decided, hey, let's take some advice from Phil and Will. You have 90-minute episodes now, and if those 90-minute episodes are going to stay, this challenge talk, this discussion is a lot of fun. I was so into it. I was really enjoying it. Let them stand up there and have the damn discussions and tempt them down with food and just have endurance challenges. And if Jeff says, oh, well, nobody's going to step down for food anymore. All right, Jeff, well, then, like, look at your cast a little bit differently. And also, Jeff, you're not casting that much of badasses. No offense, Survivor 46, that nobody is going to step down for food. When you
Wait, has he said that food, before?
All the time.
That no one's going to step down? Has he?
I don't know what he said.
Like, we've seen temptations in the, we've seen temptations in the new era, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like they aren't doing it.
But not to this extent. I think it's like, we'll do rice and maybe they have a little bit of food. But Zach says here, based off what Jeff said about the auction, food temptations probably aren't going to happen much anymore, which is a bummer. I think that stuff's fun. And I think this is a good opportunity. We don't need to see them stand on one foot. We all know it's going to end really quickly. That's not all that great.
Yeah. And I think the thing with the auction was, it was all the hot food and, preparing it, keeping it hidden, keeping it warm. But I think if you could have
give them chocolate bars, dude.
Chocolate and peanut butter, man. The OG, yeah. Like, throw it back. I mean, you don't need to have like hot, spaghetti and meatballs. But it's like, hey, if it's a couple beers and potato chips or like whatever it is, or pizza. There's pizzas there. I know they can keep those warm. So,
what about even Zach said they'd eat a cold pizza. I mean, you can eat a cold pizza. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do eat cold pizza. But now we watch this challenge play out. And the whole shtick is if you're the winner from your tribe or from your team, again, I can't call them tribes. This isn't a tribe swap. This is a merge. From your team, if you win this, you get immunity. If you're the last one standing out of everybody, you win. Your tribe gets to go and advance and be the second one, and then they get to go to the jury phase of the game. How do you feel about who the last person to make the jury and miss the jury is being decided in this way? Do you think it's good or do you think it needs tweaking?
I just think if you're going to do it at 12, then sure, this is the way to do it. I don't know. It's not.
It doesn't bother. I'm not asking. I don't have an answer to this, but it doesn't bother you that like Tim misses the jury phase of the game because they drew buffs and then he ended up on the side with the people who could stand up there for less amount of time.
That's the new era, man. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess you could maybe not do an endurance challenge, do a team challenge. We just did that at the merge anyway. I think you just get rid of this whole split thing altogether.
Yeah.
Or go back to doing it at 10, but then, like, I don't know. I think there was a comment here. Do the double boot episode during the pre-merge.
Yeah, like, I talk about earlier. That all the time.
Like, have one tribe. It's perfect. You have three tribes. One tribe wins. The other two tribes have to vote somebody out. And then you're guaranteed not to have, like, a decimated tribe. Like, at least one. You're going to get two tribes guaranteed going to tribal council.
And they did that in 41, so I don't know why they jumped away.
Yeah, I think that would absolutely be a way to do this. Or if someone's going to be medically evacuated, just go through a tribal council of the team that lost. And Randon got evacuated, send Banu home that episode, and then you don't have to do this split thing.
Yeah, we have I Am Connor here. I think it's pointless. Why not delay the merge by one round and not have the Murgatory vote make the jury? That, I think, is totally fair. Also, is that the Connor, since it's spelled with a K? Are you the one who just married Marianne? Because if you are, congratulations. If you're not, your name is spelled just like Marianne's husband's name. So there you go. That's just such a weird spelling of Connor. I need to throw that out there. But yeah, I guess what it is with me when I look at how the final 12 is going right now, I think they've fallen a little too in love with it. And I think they've fallen a little too in love with, once you hit the merge, there is going to be a split in some way. La Morena here says, I love double eliminations. I also love double eliminations, and I don't necessarily mind the split when it happens every now and then. I just think that it happens so often now. It is not Marianne's husband, unfortunately. I think that it happens so often now that it's lost a bit of its spice. And I just feel like there's so much random, and the new era is what it is. The new era is what it is. Like, it's fine. It's these types of things are going to happen, but I just think that there's a different way to handle this situation. And they're not making changes. Like, when Randon got medevaced, they could not have a vote that night as well, because it would mess up their final 13 and their final 12, which is set in stone. Like, they're not willing to budge on what this final 13 and what this final 12 looked like.
I think that's the issue. I think they need to be a little flexible, but with 26 days, it is hard to be flexible because you have everything planned for a specific day. It is tricky.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. All right. So we didn't really talk about this. We've gone now 45 minutes and we haven't talked about the other tribe.
Well, that's why it's a double boot episode. So we got to break down two whole votes. And
I think this is the more interesting vote.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. It probably is more interesting. I guess, like, I was kind of excited for a potential 3-2-1, like, getting Tevin out. Like, that's when I was like, oh, Venus. Like even Venus says that to Charlie, and he's like, oh, I know what you mean, a 3-2-1. Oh, I see what you're doing. That would have been awesome. I guess with both of these, though, I mean, we knew, once we knew the splits, with our power rankings and predictions, it was like, okay, Soda or Venus, they're going to be on the bottom. It's going to be one of them. And then Tim and Ben's going to be one of them. That's exactly how it played out. We were able to kind of clock this thing easily. And that's not always the case, especially right after the merge. It's not always so clear where people are going to go. But this was pretty clear. I mean, I did not really fear for Charlie. I know it was very, oh my gosh, Maria won immunity, so he's the only Sega to vote for, and the other four are Nami. I mean, we weren't buying that for a second. Charlie, I don't even know if he bought it for that long. I'm sure he was definitely not thrilled with the way the tribe shook out. But pretty quickly, it was apparent that Venus wanted Soda out. Soda wanted Venus out. And, Venus,
and Liz, again, wait. Liz was like, screw you all, I hate your faces, let's go.
Yeah.
We finally heard from her.
And Liz played it up at Tribal Council great. She's like, I'm staying Nami strong, and that's what we're doing. I just want to go back to camp. I didn't bring my bag. Let's just get this thing over with. It's simple. Even though Liz did vote for Soda. So Liz played some game tonight. That was good to see.
I like that. I do have one comment here that I want to keep in mind, so I'm going to keep it up here. So if there's any other good comments that pop up later, you got to be the clicker, because I'm looking at Nicholas here and I want to bring it up, but I want to have this conversation first. This went exactly how we expected it to go. 100% exactly how we, not necessarily that soda was the boot, but that it was Charlie and Maria. We were going to get the sound bite of, oh, they're in trouble. And I think you, me, and Fairplay might have said these words like verbatim. They're going to get the sound bite that they're in trouble. And then it's going to be, but Nami hates each other, so they're going to vote each other out. As soon as we saw that breakout and saw it was 4-2 with those Nami, we said, a Nami is going home. Who will it be? I was surprised that Tevin was as close to being sent home as he was. Maybe
I don't think it was that close, though. Maria maybe, shut
well, I was just
going to
say, maybe he wasn't that close, but his name coming up, I did have Tevin at 7, actually, so maybe I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that came up from Venus and Maria quickly was like, no. And Charlie's like, interesting, but I'm going to do whatever Maria says, basically. And Maria wanted no part of working with Venus. And the question for you, was Tevin surprised that it was Soda?
He voted because, the wrong way.
Because Tevin voted for Venus. But Liz voted for Soda. Then obviously Charlie and Maria voted for Soda and Venus voted for Soda. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand.
Or was it a vote split in case something, you know, because if Soda plays her shot in the dark, even though she was so blindsided and she's successful, then there would be one vote on Venus because there wouldn't be Soda's vote on Venus if she were to play her shot in the dark. So maybe it's like, next level thinking, or you know, Soda's a jury member now, so now Venus can, or Tevin can be like, well, I didn't vote you out, so I actually voted for Venus, so there are two votes there. I don't know.
Christopher Arrico says, I think he voted to save face for the jury because Soda's going on the jury, and yeah, Jordan Vanek says the same thing. I don't know, because I don't think Survivor Archivist says I think Tevin's vote was shot in the dark protection.
I mean, either one of those, but like, I don't think Soda was coming close to playing her shot in the dark.
I feel like it couldn't. Yeah, I feel like it couldn't
she
be the shot
so
in the dark move.
She was so blindsided. She,
I mean, dude, I really appreciated, again, I always love the emotion on these, and we saw Kelly go out in a similar way last season with the what the heck guys and all that stuff.
What the hell and guys?
Was it what the hell guys? I thought it was what the heck guys.
What the hell, guys?
I don't know why heck just got in my head. Doesn't matter. Because I'm looking at King Duck and what he's saying about Survivor. Those I got CK words in my head now. Mm-hmm. But I just I love the raw emotion, and I think that that's great. And like, do I feel bad for Soda? Yeah, but I mean, as much as that sucks, you went out in a pretty damn cool way, and it's definitely going to be memorable. And I'm glad to see that you are having that reaction. With that being said, either Tevin was doing jury management, Tevin had no idea what was going on. I would not be surprised at all, because Tevin's not talking to Venus. I think that's the other thing we need to remember here. Tevin's not talking to Venus. Soda and Venus are only having arguments. We saw their argument at the beginning of the episode. And Liz doesn't seem like she wants to talk to anybody from that tribe. So Charlie and Maria, all of the conversations were happening with Venus. They didn't need to talk to Tevin. And Venus didn't talk to Tevin. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tevin
did. Tevin and Liz link up though at some point. So I remember it was definitely Charlie and Maria and Liz at some point linked up. But was that, I'm trying to remember now, because with all the, you know, the two tribals going on, did Tevin and Liz like sit down and have a chat? I think they did.
They probably did, but I don't remember. Now I don't remember. What does the comment say? Tevin and Liz talked around Liz's confessional. That's right. Yeah. And Nicholas says, so this is the part that confused me here. Nicholas says, but wasn't Tevin one of the ones that came up with the idea of that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He was. That's why I'm, but then he says like, oh no. So maybe he was just like trying to pretend to Soda, but that stuff all comes out anyway once the jury members convene. And And like, especially in this day and age, like, don't you want to be the person that did vote correctly and voted people out? I don't know. Seemed like an odd thing for sure. Because, yeah, it was Liz and Tevin had that conversation about Soda. And Liz goes, yeah, we know what game Venus is playing. Like, Soda, let's get her. I want to get her out. And that was between Liz and Tevin. So Tevin, I think, was in on this and just had some.
Yeah, I mean, the way people are commenting here, like, Zach, but isn't he the reason Liz was in on the vote?
Yeah.
But like, I almost feel like Have we seen this happen before where somebody comes up with an idea of how a vote's going to go? Nobody really gives them, they kind of yes them or say whatever, and then they just go ahead and do it anyway without really telling them. Like, I don't know. Maybe is there a world where they think that Tevin is trying to get something out of them because they think he's close with Soda? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a weird situation.
It's a weird one. It was a weird one for sure. What do you think about this from Maria and Charlie's point of view? They basically had say in who
the best move they could have made.
Yeah, get rid of the social threat, Soda. Venus is going to keep causing problems. And hey, maybe, I don't know. I feel like I want to see Maria work with Venus, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Like,
no.
Maria, I mean, really, really kind of shut down Venus today.
Here's the thing, though. She shut her down, but I think she was trying to use it as a learning thing. Because, okay, we can sit here and say Venus wasn't coming at Maria in this situation.
Maria's picking up some coaching tips from Q.
Maybe. Here's the
deal. Venus up for the future.
I just have to say this, right? Because I understand that the internet feels like Venus is being picked on and all that stuff. But her whole tribe, she was saying that her whole tribe wouldn't talk to her. And then it's like, but then when I try to talk to them, they don't want to talk to me, whatever. And then Maria, who's been with her for approximately 2 days, is pretty much saying, you're coming at me too hard. I don't like this. It feels aggressive. And I don't think you realize how you come across to people. Everybody can sit here and say, well, Venus is being picked on. But at some point, you do have to take a little bit of merit in what everybody else is saying. Yeah. And so I do think that maybe we didn't see the most aggressive thing Venus did. But I think that Venus is probably saying things all the time where you're sitting there rolling your eyes, the same way Q is doing it. Where
yeah, I think it's just not having tact. And I think it's like, this is what we have to do. This is the person we have to get out. That person has the power. If we don't do this, we're dumb. And it's like, let's go. And that just might be how you are on Survivor. That rubs people the wrong way. Like, that's not what people do not want to be told who the obvious biggest threat is, because it's like, Phil, if I come up to you, I'm like, dude, like, Alexa is the biggest threat. She's got to go. We got to vote her out.
That's why you got rid of her.
We'd be idiots not to get rid of her. And then Bill's like, huh? Like, if you're not thinking that way, and it's like, oh, well, now you think I'm an idiot. Like, now it's acting like I think you're dumb because you don't want to get Alexa out. Like, if you're that gung-ho about a plan, and you're like, we'd be stupid not to do this, and this makes the most sense. Are you even playing the game? Like, that energy and vibe, people are like, no, that's like, you're going way too far with this. You're trying way too hard. You're overplaying all of that stuff. You have to do it with tact. You have to make it seem like it's their idea. That's one of the things we like. Some of the greatest Survivor players of all time, they get people on board with votes and make it think it was their own idea. Like, that's what a great Survivor player does. And Venus and Kyo are doing the exact opposite of that and saying, this is my great idea. This is the right move. Come join me.
Yeah. And I think so. What I was going to say with this is, because I agree with everything you just said, I think that when it comes to Maria, she doesn't probably like Venus very much. I mean, she did say, hey, I've been 20. I've been in that position. So maybe she's a little bit more understanding of it than maybe we're giving Maria credit for. However, Maria knows one thing. And it is, if you sit next to Venus, you are definitely 1,000% beating Venus.
Mm-hmm.
So if Maria wants to go to the final three and Charlie is her closest ally, now Tim's gone. Her number three is gone. But somebody who was looking out for her, we can make all those jokes about, oh, is your number three, your number three. But we can, Tim was looking out for Maria. But now he's gone. So as the Sega numbers dwindle, if she still wants to get to the end with Charlie, who's the best people to sit with? Liz? Who'd she vote with tonight? Charlie and Maria? And Venus, who'd she vote with tonight? Charlie and Maria. Those are the people you want to sit with at the end of this game. I think Maria, being that she is older, maybe that does make her wiser. And I think that she will maybe work with Venus throughout the remainder of this season to get to the final three with Venus. Because if you sit next to Venus, no matter who you are, Liz beats Venus right now, everybody. Liz beats Venus. There's almost no doubt in my mind Liz beats Venus.
Mm-hmm. I buy it. I don't think Liz or Venus are winning.
No, because they still have to beat whoever the third person is.
Right. I think whoever is in that final three is going to win unanimously.
Yeah. Liz and Venus are sitting there as second and third place finishers if they get to the end. But I'm just a surprise final two, Liz versus Venus. Liz is going to win.
That would be a good final two. Actually.
That would be a great final.
Bring back the final two so that we can get some Liz versus Venus.
Yeah, we got Alex Galvez. Oh my God, Liz winning would be great. I mean, I'm enjoying Liz, and I like that Liz is leaning into now. I finally get to play Survivor, and I get to vote out the people I don't like. This is great. But this move tonight, because Tevin, you could say, was Tevin the right move? Tevin's been called King Tevin, and he's coming off in a very arrogant way, probably similar to Q at this point. If people are throwing that nickname around, and the rest of NAMI is throwing that nickname around, that's not good for him. Also, if Maria is still trying to be close with Hunter, because remember, they didn't see the tribal council go down. They don't know that Tim went out because there's no member of the jury. They have no idea who was voted out. They're going to get back to camp and be like, oh God, Tim's gone. If you get rid of Tevin, you piss off Hunter. Why piss off Hunter? There's no need to. You got to assume Hunter's still going to be in the game. So Soda is the biggest threat out of the three who were eligible to go home. And she has the least connections to the people you actually want to play the game with.
Yeah, the Tevin move just would have been fun. It's almost like the fair play take of like, just give me good TV. It's like, I don't need to see game.
You didn't think tonight was good TV anyway?
It was. It was fun. But I mean, a Tevin blindside 3-2-1 coming from Venus would have been like probably 10 times better. And I mean, like I said, we saw the split on our predictions episode. We said it's going to be between Venus and Soda on one side and between Ben and Tim on the other. And that's exactly what we got. So I'm not going to say this episode was like amazing. I did enjoy it though. I thought it was a very solid episode, but you do like to see some unpredictability in a Survivor season for sure.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw this one up now? Here we go. Would they ever do this on Survivor? Will, this is from Nicola. How about a pure double elimination? Everyone casts two votes. The two people with the most votes go home. They never did this. Otherwise though, I'm kind of sick of the double eliminations. Would they ever do that? Or what?
There's a couple problems with that. I've done this in like an ORG like Zoom show before. And it's super, super hard to track and like make clear what's happening. Like everyone has two votes and you don't have to vote the same. Because if you voted the same way with your two votes, then it could just be then it would matter. It's just the people who with the two most votes going home. So basically the way it plays is that everyone's voting for two different people, and then you need reasons for two different people. And then you're like, question. And then also it is against like the rules of Survivor, which, hey, they break the rules all the time. They could easily do this, no problem. But you are supposed to have an immunity challenge, between vote outs, essentially. And even when you split, you had eligibility to get an immunity, whereas here you're eliminating two people. And yeah, someone could have you offer immunity up, but the same group is voting twice without immunity. And that's not a huge issue. It's mainly pretty difficult to.
It's hard for the audience to follow, too.
Exactly. It's like, okay, if you have.
You'd have 24 votes if you did it.
Yeah, final. If you did it final 12, you have 24 votes where you
can. And then are there extra votes that people lose votes?
Yeah, it's just a lot. And it'd be two people safe, is what Nicholas saying. So yeah, I mean, maybe if you get two people, I mean, I think it's interesting. Look, I've done this before on a Zoom show and it was fun. It becomes really difficult if it's like for the audience to track. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's kind of that.
They're all excited. Like the idea. I said not for nothing. So hashtag not for nothing.
That's kind of your phrase.
I used to say it so much, and then Nicola called me on it, and I didn't say it for like the whole rest of the season. So there it was.
Not for nothing. We have a pretty good final 10 here moving forward.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to have obviously our predictions and power rankings this Sunday. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern time with JD Robinson. So that'll be exciting. Woo! But let's give a little preview of this, because I'm going to be doing my after show tomorrow. I'll be posting that for all of our top tier patrons. So become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. But what's your feeling? This got off to a slow start this season. There's really no denying that. I think that is almost Will and I like to argue every time I say something, Will will find something to complain about or something to disagree with me on. I feel like for the most part, everybody can agree that the first couple episodes of the season were a slow start. Yanu just kept losing. Banu literally had a repeat episode, so that was its own thing. But now we've had, I think, two pretty solid episodes in a row. Maybe even three solid episodes. in a row, because the Banu episode. So what were the last three episodes? It was Banu.
It was Jem, Mariah, Jem, that's right. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So for some reason, I totally forgot Jem went home there. The Jem episode was great. The Mariah episode was solid. And then I think this episode was solid. So now we've had three good ones in a row. And I think we're set up with a good solid 10. We have Andy say good final 10, but only 4-5 with win equity. Do you think that the win equity matters? Or are you loving that people like Venus and Liz are still in this game to
wreak havoc? 4-5 out of 10 is very high, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember San Juan del Sur. Oh my gosh. It was one. Had to win.
Yeah, it was Josh went home, Jeremy went home. Okay, and so it was Natalie won.
It was Natalie won the season. So yeah. I mean, and people love that season. Mm-hmm. I think having four to five people that could get it done. Now, if four of those people are the next four boots, then the season becomes super predictable. But man, if you have 4-5 right now and we get down to a final six and there are three out of six. I mean, anything where you're at about 50% of the remaining people have a chance to win, I feel like that's a good number to be at. I mean, who are our win equity people? I think, you know, Maria, obviously, she's kind of been your person lately. I think Tiff's chances are dwindling. I think she was so strong on Yanu, and we just haven't seen that much in the two merge episodes. But
she definitely has win equity.
She does. She absolutely can win. It just seems like her chances have been kind of going down in terms of like what kind of content we're getting from her. I think Kenzie's win equity
Throw up this comment for that, because I agree with you. Melee25 says, with what Kenzie did for Ben this episode, we didn't talk about this. Does this improve her stock to win? Because it seems like nobody wants to vote her out because everyone else likes her at camp. We saw Ben have the panic attack in his sleep, disoriented when he woke up. Will, you talked about it on the one episode where you're like, I get sleep paralysis. So that's fun. I've had sleep paralysis. Waking up from anything like that is horrifying.
I get it all the time. I've had it so many times. I get it so often that I'm very like, oh, that was sleep paralysis, whatever. Like, yep. I got to go throw water in my eyeballs in my face so that I don't fall right back into it.
Yeah. No, so I get that. But so obviously this happens, and you were just saying that Kenzie's has gone up. This is a pretty big thing. Like, this is pretty awesome. She's the one who stays up, and they really made an effort to show Ben and Kenzie sitting up while everybody else slept around that fire. So then we get Kenzie at Tribal Council talking about, you know, doing this for Ben, and this was human. This is what she does. Her and Ben are crying over this. I mean, did Kenzie just go up to being the favorite again?
I don't know how many times I have to say this. When you're looking into winner stuff like this, would they only include it if they won, or would they include this no matter what? And this falls in the camp, to me, they would include this no matter what. Kenzie's speech at Tribal Council.
Oh, that they would include no matter what.
Well, you need the scene to set that up.
But they could have figured out something to be like Ben and like they. No,
I mean they. No, Kenzie specifically
in
60-minute
episodes, they have said things. They have shown things at Tribal Council of people saying, me and this guy, we were doing this earlier today, and everybody laughs and just like, wait, tell me more about the blah, blah, blah. And then they tell the story without showing the story. So that's happened.
Right. But this is like a big emotional scene, and like for the audience to feel it and really connect on it. And you do have 90-minute episodes that, yeah, if you have it on camera of another contestant helping someone out when they wake up in the middle of the night with a panic attack, if you have that footage, why wouldn't you? And like, that's what the show's about. They're living together on an island, supporting each other, needing to vote each other out. And this scene was crucial to Kenzie's speech that was included in the episode that you're always going to include. So for me, I can't look at something like this that if you're putting together the show in post, if you're producing the show, you are 100 times out of 100 times including that scene. Yeah.
St. Clippo then says, then Q heaped praise on Kenzie too, talking about her with the immunity.
Yeah, it was a good episode for Kenzie.
Great episode.
I think at least for that, the Ben scene, I think that's something that's going to make the cut, regardless if she ends up winning. Okay, but let's go through. So we have Maria, Kenzie,
and Tiff.
I think Q is pretty much dead in the water. I don't think he's winning. Venus is dead. Liz is dead.
I think the rest have a chance depending on who's getting next to.
What do we think of Charlie?
Charlie's got a shot.
I think Charlie had a very nice episode tonight.
Yeah. I think Charlie has a shot for sure.
That's four. And then Hunter. I mean, that's five right there.
And I think Ben and Tevin in the right situation could win. Like, I think Ben and Tevin, if they were to sit next to Venus and Liz or Venus and who else did we eliminate? Q. I think they could win in those scenarios. So I'm not just going to disregard those two. But there's five who really can win. And then I think there's two that are more distant. And I think there's three that have no shot.
Mm-hmm. I think five is about right. And then Tevin or Ben win, I think, would be not impossible, but
Gabler did
definitely,
it.
Definitely a surprise.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it's possible. That's what I'm saying. Can't rule it out. So then we're including, you know, only like three people are like dead in the water right now out of 10. And that's good.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very, very, and even Q to the casual viewer, to all you filthy casuals out there. People are watching this going, oh, Q could win. Of course, my dad will probably call me tomorrow and be like, I think Q's going to win. So,
yeah.
It's Q, Liz, and Venus, Nicola. Q, Liz, and Venus have no shot right now. I'm going to do some props here, Will, because I think we should have this discussion on air real quick.
It was not a black shirt at the challenge. It was a navy blue shirt.
Okay, that's good. That wasn't actually going to be the question I was going to ask. Yeah. Last week at the Merge Feast, was there alcohol?
I don't know.
We got to rewatch that.
Yeah.
We got to go back and we got to watch that because we got to figure out if anybody drank alcohol at the reward, because that's one of our big things. Tonight it was tea and coffee. So that was okay. But we got to go back and we got to rewatch that.
I imagine the Merge Feast, you got to give them some booze.
Yeah. So we got to go see who actually was drinking booze on camera so that we could have that. Yeah. Zach is saying wine, I think. So we got to figure out who was drinking wine so we could have that. I didn't do this last week. Did Mariah ever cry?
I don't know.
All right. So I have that one blank. We'll have to go back and see if Mariah cried. She got 10 or more votes. She sat out three times. She had a confessional in every episode. She used her shot in the dark. Soda absolutely bawled her eyes out tonight. So that was an easy one. She did that. She did not get a hidden immunity idol. She did not get 10 or more votes. Although I have to figure out exactly how many did Soda get? She got four. Soda got four, so she ended up with five or fewer votes. If you had that for the prop, that's good. Individual immunity, obviously, those were won tonight by Kenzie and Maria. Soda never lost a vote. She did make the jury, so that's good for her. She's the first one to make the jury. And Maria hugged Jeff. This was a big deal. This is awesome.
That's a big one.
Yes, I love getting the hugs and letting us know that this is still relevant to our prop bet game. That's always exciting. Three times sit out, Soda did not hit that, so that's not there. 10 or more confessionals in any episode. So what's funny is, up to this point, we have only had Hunter, Tiffany, and Kenzie hit that prop, which I know you're sitting there going, well, that's kind of a lot. But with 90-minute episodes, this should happen more. So it'll probably happen now. We're down to 10 people. We'll get that a little bit more. But right. It hasn't happened with that many people to this point. There were no journeys. Soda did not get a confessional in every episode. Neither did Tim. So neither one of those can get that prop. Kenzie became the first person to get 40 or more confessionals in this season. She has 42. Q and Tiffany are going to hit it next week. They both have 38. So just hold your breath on that one. And then you will easily, if you're looking for the points, get that. The episode title was not said. Survivor was just having some fun tonight, Will. Production had a good time and named it
Episode Several. And then Jeff also included, you've been up there for several minutes.
What a challenge. Guy, man.
Yeah.
What a guy.
And Jeff probably at that point, maybe at that point they knew they were going to call it Episode Several. Maybe they had been talked about, but it's funny that happened this episode.
Yeah. So we got to figure out the alcohol at the reward. And then in terms of who was the other person, Tim didn't win. I don't think he ever cried. Didn't get a hidden immunity idol. He also ended up, from my calculations, with four votes. So he gets your under five. So that's exciting right there. Did not get individual immunity, never lost a vote. He did not make the jury, didn't hug Jeff, didn't sit out three times. Never had 10 or more confessionals in an episode. He went on a journey, didn't have a confessional in every episode, didn't hit 40, didn't go home with an unused advantage, didn't play a shot in the dark. Not sure about the alcohol, so we'll have to check that one, like I've said. Will, those are all those. Over-under game, stuff has already been hit. This is fun. We need one more journey. I think that was our first endurance challenge, was it not?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into the, you know, individual portion of the game when these tend to do that. We have Mr. Manny asking, did Tim not cry on the walkout?
So what we always say is you have to cry a physical tear. We saw Tim's back. We did not see his face. So I saw no tears. Okay. Did you all see tears? I saw no tears.
He bawled.
He did bawl. He stopped and was crying, but I didn't see his face. And don't give me like, oh, well, then the shot from the other side, you could see. You could barely make out his face. Like, this was, I don't think it was close enough to see tears.
He wiped his face with his shirt. Everyone is coming in here. We'll have to look at it.
Cry a physical tear. If you can see the tear, tell me.
He did cry.
So, I mean, maybe he did. But
it's a tough one.
It's a tough one. That's why crying a physical tear probably needs to be eliminated from this next year.
Yeah, it's always an issue degrading that one.
It's a pain in the ass because it's like, yeah, we heard him. I didn't see shit. So we heard it, didn't see it. There you go, Rigo. Thank you. But yeah, well, those are all the
excitement. But if we, it's not that, it's not in the rules, see a physical tear, cry. It's, did he cry a physical tear?
Yeah, did he cry physical? Do you know that then? So you heard him crying, but sometimes I get choked up. I don't have tears come out.
Okay.
I'm just saying, that's hard. That's hard. Was Ben crying tonight? I don't think so. He's getting emotional, but he didn't cry.
I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. Anyway, all right, let's end on this note, Will. Did Q throw this challenge?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I feel like the only way you can count a challenge throw is if you get some discussion about it before the challenge. If there's only discussion after the challenge, then I think either the show is making you out to be a fool, but like if they really wanted to tell a story about Q downplaying his physical ability, then he would be talking about this in more than just one confessional after the challenge. And then they would be like, yo, we're trying to make Q look like he's strategic and doing this very, you know, important job of lowering his threat level. Whereas this felt like, okay, we're just going to tell you after the fact. So we're not supposed to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that. He's a confident guy though, man. I do appreciate Q. I really do. I do appreciate him. That's it. That's what I got. Miss anything? Hour 15. Good job. Pat ourselves on the back. That's it.
Yeah. It's fun. It's good.
Good episode. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. Tomorrow, I got two podcasts during the day, 11 a.m. Me and McKenna are going to be doing the Amazing Race recap. 12 p.m., me and Blake are going to be doing digging deeper into this episode. So we'll be talking about one major topic from this episode. We didn't do it last week, so we're back this week. It was supposed to be Brandon Donlan, but we actually had a conflict with times. So
He heard Fair Play.
So Brandon's going to be next week. So me and Blake will just be tomorrow. So tune into that. If you really enjoy the Survivor coverage, tune into that. I know everybody's working at noon. I get it. But tune in and jump in when you can, because those are fun episodes. We had Troy Zan on for one of them. We're trying to make those. They're not going to be evergreen, but we're trying to make them more about a specific topic. Of like, what is it that is coming out of this episode? What are we really discussing as a community? So yeah, that's what I got. Patreon.com/the specialist. Just pounding out content over there like crazy. So
check
much
out
of it.
The connections. We've got 7 connections out. Our next one is coming out when? Tomorrow?
Phil? Should be tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's a busy day for the specialists.
Yeah. I think tomorrow it's Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday we're going to try out
Saturday this week because we've been doing Sunday. But since we're going to have JD on Sunday, we're going to see if doing it on Saturday will help us out a little bit more. So
yes. And the next connections, we're going to bounce back between players and seasons. I think we're going to get a few more players once the seasons ones are just way, way more difficult. So
they're hard. And you can all see me getting frustrated because it's not, I mean, I don't think we need to be secretive with it. We're putting them out whenever, like, we do film multiple of these at a time. And you can see me after like the second or third season's one being like, man, Will, if we were in the same room right now, when Johnny Fairplay pulled the machete on me the other day, that would have been Will with all of this stuff going on. It was driving me. Those started to just grind my gears, but they're a good time. They really are. And I think they're fun frustration instead of annoying frustration. So that's always good too. But yeah, a lot of coverage coming out. So if you watch The Amazing Race, make sure you check that out tomorrow. More Survivor coverage tomorrow. More connections, whole bunch, 3 episodes dropping tomorrow. And then Survivor Rewind with John and McKenna will be on Friday, which will be a whole bunch of fun. And then we'll be here with JD. Haven't had JD on the podcast, even though JD used to listen to us before he ever got cast. So wow. I'm really excited for that. I know this is going to be a good time. So
it's gonna be great.
Fun times ahead with JD. Will, good job. You did your best. You were right on more things than me tonight, maybe. So blind squirrels always
chat behind me tonight. It felt,
I know. I know. I honestly might not.
Rarely happens. Yeah, rarely happens.
I don't like this. I don't like the feeling of it. I feel like I'm back to the Alexa days where everybody's like, no, we like Alexa. Screw you, Phil. I don't appreciate this anymore. You're not supposed to become Alexa.
That's right. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. But anyway, bye, everybody.
See ya.
Why aren't you eating right? Because eating right is hard. Because it isn't. Kevin Hart fixed it 4 damn years ago with The One. The One is Vita Hustle's game-changing meal-replacing super shake, inspired by Kevin Hart's passion and belief that we all have the right to eat right. Kevin Hart is referring to himself in the third person because he's fired up. Because The One just passed 5 million super shakes sold. 5 million. Just a quick gut healthy glass of The One gives you all the proteins, all the greens, and all the vitamins and more. One shake, no chaos. Listeners get 20% off their first purchase at VitaHustle.com. Go to VitaHustle.com. That's VITA Hustle.com.